Welcome to Saints Sports Weekly here on 96.5 The Cave and 965thecave.com. John Kane in here with you this evening. I have got the indubitable Fred Smith, former coach, longtime coach, and athletic director at Siena Heights University. And our first guest this evening, we're going to be talking with Scott Oliver, the women's soccer coach. Hey, Scott, you out there?
Yeah, I'm doing well. How about you guys?
Okay. Glad to have you on the show. Well, thanks. As we always do, I defer to the man across the plexi there.
All righty. Hey, Scooter, how you doing, buddy? You hear me?
Yeah, I'm doing well.
All right, I know you have golf league tonight, so we're trying to fit this in around you making some putts.
Yeah, without a doubt. Well, I wish I'd start making them, though. So.
Well, if you do, you know, they all come in bunches, my friend. I was called indubitable a little bit ago. I don't know what that word means. I went to Adrian College, so I'm not sure what that word is. But I know this. It's always a pleasure to talk to you, and I want to tell our audience you're also now the assistant athletic director at Siena Heights. Talk about how that change has affected you this past academic year, Scott.
You know, it's been a little more work, or quite a little bit more, but I really enjoyed it. I think it's given me a little more say in, you know, some of the things as I've grown up, and kind of now I'm one of the more elder statesmen. It's given me, you know, more leadership and things like that. So I've always appreciated that type of stuff. And, you know, I've kind of moved into a scheduling role and into like a peer mentor type thing as well. So that's been a great change for me, and I've enjoyed it so far.
That's awesome to hear. Coach, you know, it's easy to talk about this program as I'm not been shy to say, this has been really one of our flagship programs at Siena since its inception in the, I think, 1987, Jackie Battalora, attorney at law, that helped get this program started. And it's probably one of not only our more successful programs, but just thanks to you and the coaches, you got to be so proud of what you've done. But while I, say all this great stuff, I want to start our discussion off by one statistic I heard from Tom Pashevitz. And I don't know if it's true or not. And now that I'm a journalist, we believe in truth, right? How many kids do you have? What do you got, 40 kids on your team, something like that, your varsity JV?
Second semester, I carried 38, so that would be two teams.
Okay.
That was minus my graduating seniors, so I had 38.
Plus your seniors.
Players coming in.
All right. So let's say your seniors over 40. I heard your cum GPA of that group was 3.5 or 3.6, is that true?
Actually, it was a 3.69 last year.
3.69. To me, that says it all. It's not saying that you guys were 13-5 this year, another great season, that your JV or reserve team, as you call it, was 11-2, but that your students achieve an average GPA of 3.69. And I don't know what you think, John. I think that's an incredible statistic.
Well, I could have used that. I could tell you when I was in school for at least one semester that I remember.
Well, that just tells you the culture you built, Coach. And, I want to really laud you on that. And I noticed going through your roster online, you know, which is, you know, what I think, did we have 8 seniors this year? Did I count correctly?
Yeah, I do think it's that. You know, we got a couple fifth years that played, things like that. So,
That's what I'm asking. As you're recruiting for next year, how many of these will use their COVID extra year in the fall of 2022?
I'll have no fifth years this year. So I had two last season that carried over. One was going to take it anyway because of a medical back when she was a freshman or sophomore. The other one was student teaching, so we got her back. And then this year, my four seniors, the Isabel, the German, graduated in December, actually.
Right.
Kylie's going to do all their stuff. Lauren's a nurse. So, like, they basically have all their other, and Kaylee took a fifth year as well last year. So, yeah, it's just been, you know, a little different. We don't have a lot of fifth years out of this class, actually. I think I might have a couple of juniors next year that might take it. But really, out of all those returners, there were just two girls that took that fifth year, or three, I guess, three.
Well, and obviously, if your students are achieving at the level, obviously they are, then many of them are ready to get out even earlier, and their only option is grad school. And I know our football program, and again, I'm not discounting them in any way. The coach has done a great job. They've used this fifth year because of it's only one semester, a lot, because they redshirt so many kids, where your program is different. Because your kids are playing through your JV program. You were 11-2, at least what I saw last year. How many kids do you think in that program could eventually play for you?
I'm actually hoping all of them do at some point. They've got to contribute. So, really, you know, I think there's 11 juniors in my class. There's probably three of them that have been, you know, maybe two-year, two-and-a-half, three-year reserve team players for us. So I really am trying to develop talent. I got that idea from some other guy, coach Bob, and I went to 13 consecutive national titles or something like that, and they always reload it. And it was a matter of just developing the kids and, you know, putting them in the environment and letting them get better. So we really are trying to reload every year with just basically what we're bringing through reserves and things like that.
Well,
and then I will comment, too, about your academic stuff with the girls is, I mean, I get a lot of credit for that, but I don't know. I think it kind of started with one group, and then it kind of trickulated. The girls didn't want to, you know, they were so competitive. They just didn't want to start having, you know, be the lower team on the guy on the GPA type stuff. So then it kind of, you know, bloomed up for them, and really started into that competition of them being above the 3.5s, and that's really what we talk about with our goals with them. But I've really done nothing. It's really just their style, their mantra of what they typically do, and that's just the type of people they are, you know, the higher achievers. And the second side of that is when we had COVID and everybody complained about the learning online stuff, my team had a 3.71 GPA, so even higher than what we were now when we were online.
Yeah,
so I just think it's that mantra of that style of person. They're just going to be a winner regardless of what, and successful regardless of what they do. Then the last point on the school stuff for me is, other thing to be really proud of them is the majority of my team are science majors. So this isn't easy English and I don't want to discredit any of those programs or that type of stuff, but most of these girls are trying for PT school, MA school, things of that nature, you know, going to doctoral schools, getting the physical therapy, nursing. So that's really the second part of that. And then, you know, obviously we have education majors and things like that. But the majority of the girls have been high achieving from the on the field, off the field. It's just kind of born and bred, and that's what we've been lucky enough to recruit.
Coach, what was your first year as the head coach of women's soccer? Was it 2000? What was it? 2001? When was that? Can you hear me, Coach?
No, I'm sorry. Say that again.
What was your first year as the head women's soccer coach? You spent a few years as a graduate assistant and doing sports information work. What was your first year as head coach?
2001.
2001. I thought it was 2001. And, you know, right out the gate, you guys went 18-3, 21-2, 13-6. And, you know, I don't know. I think during that whole 21, 22 years, you might have had two losing seasons, and one was a 5-6 campaign during the pandemic when, you know, it's been consistent success. How many trips, tell our audience, have you guys earned to go to the national tournament?
I actually lost count. I think it's not – I've been in the national six times.
So this past year, and getting right to the what we want to talk about, we were 13-5-2, and we talked to you during the year. But summarize that year, the whole fall for you. Just your ups and downs, and you know, if you look back, how do you look back on this team?
We didn't have a lot of downs, really. We knew we kind of blew our first game. We didn't play very well. So some of our scrimmages, but we had scrimmage like UAD Mercy, and we were in that game on a scrimmage. So right off the bat, we knew we had the talent. And so the thing coming out of COVID for us that was really the change, the energy, just pure show up, love to be out there, love the game, love the team atmosphere. Like, that was 100%. So if I remember this team, that's what it was. It was fun the whole year. Like, it didn't matter really what we were doing and things like that. And it was pretty easy to get them. You know, we were competitive in that, but we stayed light and easy and just kind of kept going and all that type of stuff.
Yeah, and it came right down to, I think you guys were in the semis against Aquinas, right? Is that right? And you lost. Who won the conference? And you guys ended up 7-3-1. You were, a second or third seed, something like that. Who won the conference?
We were fourth.
Four. Wow.
So, and that's what, you know, we showed a little bit of an experience and, you know, lost tough. It's always hard to play at Indiana Tech, a game we could have won or should have won, however you want to say it, and didn't. And, you know, that they just stack up. And then, you know, we have Aquinas, who won the conference. We're out playing them, really, in the first game at home, and we tie them 0-0. We hit a post. Madonna, our other tie, we hit the post to, you know, go ahead and things like that. So, resilient group. We had a great season. You know, now we've got to find, you know, two more wins out of there somewhere to win the title.
Right. And so how many teams participate in women's soccer in the WAC, Coach?
We have 12 teams.
12. So you get two bids then, right?
Yes.
Right. So that's and that means you really only have about do you guys play 18 or 20 matches now? I've been out of it now 3 years. What's your limit?
18.
18. So you only have seven non-conference matches. Is that correct?
Yeah.
So what have you learned and how to build? Coach Siljabek and I have talked a lot about this in the last few weeks on how to build that schedule. What's your philosophy in building that non-conference schedule?
I actually want to try to play like schools. I think, you know, our Labor Day tournament, we want to go away and play some competitive teams and stuff like that. But I kind of try a mixture. Every team is competitive in our conference, so I try to find some that, you know, are newer, smaller programs that we're going to be able to beat, and then try to find some others and stuff like that too. So I really don't think a whole bunch about it. It's more for me is the experience. I think we've never gotten an at-large. I've missed it, I don't know how many years. I almost quit trying to get the at-large,
right,
you know, bid from them. So I'm really just trying to get myself ready for a semifinal match. And I think a lot of that with those seven games beforehand is really just trying to get the girls to believe that we are good and then get ready for 11 games in the conference.
Just to tell our audience, here's some of the teams, Coach. I mean, this is an outstanding schedule. Thomas More out of Kentucky. I think Huntington out of Indiana. Mobile, which is a power in Alabama. Kentucky Christian, a great 1-0 win over Adrian, and that's become quite a nice game. Mount Vernon Nazarene, Olivet Nazarene, and I think your scrimmage was St. Francis, and Olivet's Illinois, Mount Vernon's Ohio. So you play quite a regional schedule. I mean, so this next year, over the years, what the coach has done, because we start school the week before Labor Day, they've been in camp a few weeks, everybody else is going home. What does coach do? It's his idea. He takes his team on a tournament trip because we're off school on Monday, or if not a tournament trip, a trip where they play some competition. What are you doing this year?
So similar thing this year. We actually got slammed because the NAI backed up a start date for us, so we couldn't have a game before a certain date. So that really So we're actually going to Mount Vernon on a Wednesday, and then right from there, we're actually going to go to Cincinnati. We're going to play Thomas More and University of UPike is what they're called, for Labor Day. So we've got, you know, three games in 5 days, big Cincinnati trip, things like that. And so, and then some of the other familiars, Huntington and teams like that, are in our out-of-conference schedule again.
So what you're saying. What is the opening date then now? I mean, this is new for me. I mean, what's the first day of competition in soccer then now?
We're allowed to start the, it's like the third Thursday in August.
And so how about, does that include scrimmages, Coach?
No, you're allowed to scrimmage before that.
Okay.
And then you're only allowed 2 weeks of practice or 17 days of practice before that date.
You know, all these years, and I spent, as you know, still there, 46 of them, but 44 of them in athletics. And one of the big things, and I don't mean to, now I'm going to use the word, John, pontificate on the radio a little bit, but one of the things I always felt the NAI should not do was try to be like the NCAA, you know? And we had our own, and now it seems to me these rules are just replicating NCAA rules.
Yeah, and that's where I start getting into administration things. And, you know, I think I would say yes, but I think administrators start to look at it as they're not trying to imitate the NCAA as much as they're like trying to save costs. They're trying to bring some people in. And so, you know, getting people on a level playing field is a little, you know, more along the lines of where the administration is looking at trying to do things and that type of stuff. And then, you know, the buzzword right now is mental health. But I think that they're trying to look at those student athletes and be like, you know, there's some schools that are really taking advantage of these kids and, you know, they kind of need to rail them in. So it's not the wild, wild west of the NAIA. Is restricted. We do have to do certain things and can't start on certain days and stuff like that.
Right. Well, as it is, let's be truthful. So many schools in the NAIA can't play on Sunday. Some of the religious schools and, you know, the individual autonomy. I hear what you're saying. Some rules. We had the 24-week rule and everybody knows when, you know, the national tournament is and when, you know, your playoffs, your conference playoffs are and all that. And I certainly understand, but I do think limiting opportunities for kids to play from 20 to 18 is not a good move. But, you know, it is what it is, and we're not going to talk here. I know I better push it back because I know John's looking at me. As you keep going, no, I have to worry about commercial. We don't have to worry about paying the bills.
No, you got, no, we're just you go ahead.
Fred. All right, good. All right, so let's go back to if I could. You talked about six times your team went to nationals, numerous other you were close, and I'm putting you on the spot here. Give me your three best teams.
Well, three best are this is a trick question. 0-2 is by far my best team, best team. They'll play anybody. We'll win. We don't have a lot of players, but we were good, 0-2 without a doubt. And then the team going in the Hall of Fame, the 0-9 team.
That was a great
very
team.
Very similar to that. Very underrated, under-respected, very close to that group. And then, you know, my 0-6 team, and I think, you know, I put them up there probably above my 2012 team just for the fact that we were terrible the year before. We couldn't score. Remember, Amanda Marinello blew out our knee. It was our goal scorer. We couldn't score, couldn't find a way to do anything. And then we come back the next year and win the conference tournament, go to nationals, almost upset people. And, it was just complete shock. You know, we go from a losing season all the way to nationals the next year.
The 06 team, who'd you play in the national tournament that year?
That was McKendree. We played him in Olathe, Kansas in a snowstorm. I give Catherine Cook, who's out in Vegas right now, living in Vegas, a hard time because she got scored out from a 45-yard free kick. Her excuse is she couldn't see because the snow was in her eyes. So. I think I've been to Nationals six times, and I believe four of them have snowed.
Wow. And that, because you're talking late November, usually you guys are playing. So as you look into this next fall, as you have, you know, summer to get ready. And we know that this is time for you to not only refresh, but, you know, just get everything ready when the young ladies come in August. What do you have to do to move that 13-5-2 record and 7-3 record to up a couple games like you talked about? What are the areas you have to improve in?
So we're going to – so I know we talked about it a little, but I have 15 freshmen coming in, so that's going to push my number to 54.
Oh, my
so
word.
That's my number one thing. I've got to get 54 people on the same page. And the caveat of that is I've got to figure out what the best 11 players are.
Right.
Right? So then I – like, that's it. The other things that I know, like, on a team, like, we're going to have to – we're unproven in goal. I've got, I think, maybe 3 games total – returning for my so we're just unproven in goal, and then, you know, we've got to get our star players playing like star players. But I think the number one thing, like, I'm our, like, we've got to get our team chemistry right. We've got to do that. As long as we do, we should be pretty good. We've got the talent, so it's just a matter of getting people on the same page, and then we, you know, really got to get our goalies some confidence, and then got to get the team confidence in them, and we should be good.
So who talk about your coaching staff.
Yeah, so that's the other – we'll have a new staff this year. Alexis Donnelly is finished and moved on. You know, just going to go through life. So I had her for 6 years, I believe, 4 as a player,
wow.
6 as a GA. And then so Crystal Wilcoxon will take that spot, who was our goalkeeper coach. So she'll stay – you know, on the staff and do a little more with our team bonding and things like that, and be much more of an influence than she has. And then Kaylee Mayhaz goes from a fifth-year senior into our graduate assistant position. And, you know, and then that, and then I think Sam Bartolotti will still stay on the staff as a volunteer. And that, I think it's going to roll with us 4 like that for a while.
Well, you know, Crystal was heck of an athlete for us, and for a while served as our sports information director. So I know she is another professional duty, but to have her back in a – I know she's been with your program, but more in a official role has to be a positive thing, because she was quite the competitor.
Well, actually, every coach I have on my staff is better than I am as a player, so that's always good. And it just goes to that thing where you're really just looking at, you know, outstanding female. They're all smart girls. They've all, you know, working on their masters or have their masters. They're all high achieving, like, perfect role models for what we're looking at doing and everything along those lines.
Well, one of the things, just to talk to our audience a little bit about this, is we, Siena Heights, have been running a graduate assistant program for many, many, many years. And what that is, as Coach has done, he has been able to attract some of his, maybe not all of his best players, but his just best intangible, and they've stayed to get master's degrees and have helped him coach. And you have really utilized this program where you, I don't think you've, have you, did you ever gone outside your program for a graduate assistant?
Yeah, you're leading to a whole different story here, Fred. Good radio. Or
I'm getting better.
Yeah, so I've actually gone out once. That was that 05-06 year. Camilo Baldini was the girl. Brazilian, played at Judson in Illinois and got
right.
a master's with us. So why I say that, and I think that's how we've kept our program rolling over the years, is really just you're keeping tradition by keeping the girls in. You know, and then they have somebody that's been there, done that, and then when I'm a jerk, which isn't too often, I guess, but when I'm a jerk, they have somebody that's been there, done it, and they understand where I'm coming from and
right.
can relay that in. So that why I talk about Camila is we're actually taking the team with 36 girls as a total trip. We have, I think, 20 of our men's soccer teams going, but we're going to Italy and Greece at the end of June. So this has been a
wow.
trip that's been delayed twice because of COVID. We were supposed to do it in 2020. We were supposed to do it in 2021. Now we're stuck. Well, I won't say stuck, but now we're going at the end of June this time.
Well, that's outstanding, Coach. So, I mean, as you talk about a whole subject in itself, how many people are you taking to Greece and Italy?
Total party will be 78, so we obviously have some parents. I think we'll have, I'll have 36 players, and then Coach Crawford or Drew has, I think, 7 or 8, so.
Well, you know, Coach, I tell you, this program, we should put it, make it the Scott Oliver Hour, because we're really highlighting some of the things you've done for Siena Heights.
All stolen from other great coaches. I don't think there's an idea that I've not gotten from, you know, this idea was Jim Lyle, who came in with football, to going over the C stuff.
Right.
The A stuff was really from you and Coach Bauer. Like, it's, I've just been blessed or really, I like, really lucky to have people that have been in front of me that I've just thought, oh, that's a good idea, let's try that, or that's a good idea, let's try that. And it just worked out in my favor, you know.
Well, I know we're later on, we'll be talking to one of your alums that'll be going into the Hall of Fame. And
yeah, Lindsay Mancini.
Lindsay Mancini. How many Hall of Famers is that for you now? I mean, I could look that up, but you seem to have a Hall of Famer every other class.
Sorry, I think I hit the mute button. We're getting close. And that's because that 2010, 2012, where we really went on a run, I think from, oh, got to check me here. I think we went to Nationals in 7, maybe. You know, we went to Nationals in 8.
Right.
We didn't make it in 9. We made it in 10 and 11 or something like that. It was 7, 8, 9, and 10. And I think that's the 4 years of Mancini's career. Or you just have a lot of talent. And then, and you know, ironically, you talk administration stuff is financial aid was had changed back then.
Right.
We had just tried a new system. We were really good, really competitive in that area, and we got lucky. We landed on some D2 kids, and you know, tight talent wise, and been there. And I think that program is kind of grown out of it.
Well, you know, I think the WAC and women's soccer in general across the country has just became, you know. I don't want to say just stronger, stronger, stronger. When you're talking 12 teams in our conference alone, then you have the good old MIAA with probably another 8 or 9. I think they have 8 or 9 because with St. Mary's teams, I'm not sure about the GLIAC, then the lot of Division I schools you're not sure on. You know, Michigan State has women's soccer, but some of the others. You're talking at least 25, 30 collegiate opportunities in our state alone. So recruiting's got to be pretty intense, doesn't it, in Michigan?
Yeah, it's really tough. The other thing that makes it hard is the Michigan clubs. So and I can name a Michigan Hawks, Nationals, Midwest United, probably the top three. Michigan Burns been good, but they play national schedules now or regional schedules. So you know, there's not big kids, big dog recruits out there that are getting missed by
right.
anybody. And then they can really go anywhere to play. So travel being better, not I'm talking about COVID, but cars, people, parents are willing to take further stuff away, and FaceTime has helped people go further away. But, you know, you'll look at, you know, Virginia's got a Michigan Hawks girl on their team. Like, I think Florida's got Michigan people on their team. So the club scene in Michigan is one of the best in the nation. And then that means, you know, the out-of-staters, I don't want to say come and poach our kids because that's the wrong thing. They're just, you know, recruiting like everybody does.
Right.
But it's become more and more difficult. And that's why if you really look at my roster, you're starting to see more kids pop up out of Cincinnati,
right.
Columbus, Chicago area. That's just, you know, I've had to do a bigger net.
Right. One of the things that you've done so well is your recruiting is really wrapped up pretty early, you know. I remember the days when, gosh, it's what, May 9th now, we'd still be recruiting very strong in basketball for the next fall because the signing date was in April, where your recruiting is usually wound up. In the winter, like this past winter, you're probably recruiting mostly juniors, so how early do you get after these kids now?
So we're on a Division I timeline, which for what that means in women's soccer is scouting kids as sophomores and juniors, visiting as juniors, things like that. And then once they hit that winter semester of their junior year, so January, then they can start applying things like that. So we're actually already at 5 commits for 2023.
Wow, already.
I think we've had all but maybe 2 of them visit that we want to see visit and then kind of go from there. So, yeah, that's exactly right. But, and I think the other thing of it is high-achieving, smart girls have their stuff together.
Right.
So they want it done early. They want to know what's going on, you know, that type of stuff. So they really, you know, get after it, and they're getting the attention from the bigger programs as well. So if I want in that game for those kids, I've got to start earlier.
Yeah. Boy, you got to be there and hang around. You never know, because it is, you know, whoever doesn't get scholarship by the Big East goes the next level down. One thing I want to, again, talk about the change since you've been there in 2001. Obviously, we started, I think, soccer in 1986 or 7. I'm trying to remember. I should know this. But in our conference, when you were back in 2001, there was no Rochester. There was no Lawrence Tech. There was a Madonna, for sure. But there was no Cleary. And I'm trying to think of any other. And U of M Dearborn, do they have women's soccer?
They do now. They didn't back then.
Yeah. Well, in other words, you just used to clean house up in that Metro Detroit area at a lot of great schools. Now you got it. We do not have, and this is nothing against Lenawee County, Hillsdale County. There's not very many high school programs around here. So you used to, you know, I don't want to say have your fill, but you didn't have as much competition. You got to bring all these kids by those schools. When they visit Siena, they got to drive by those other schools. Have you noticed, how have you noticed that in your recruiting?
So, you know, it's just periodic. We have had good programs out of Lenawee County, or, you know, even in the, I don't even know what they call it now, the Southwest Conference or Southeast Conference or whatever it is, but. And actually, some of our best recruits for 2023 are Lenawee County. So,
wow, that's great to hear.
What I've really done is, you know, you've got to go find them. It doesn't matter where they're at. You've got to go find them. So it's camps, a lot of camps, and then you just pay attention to where the club teams are playing and things like that and go. And then the last thing, like, I do with the recruits is, you know, Michigan is Michigan. Michigan State's Michigan State. And Grand Valley's Grand Valley, and Adrian's Adrian, and they have their pluses, but they are not Siena Heights. And I think that's what's helped me sell Siena every day is that I went here. I love the school. I love that it's a people place. It's a nickname type thing. You can be your own self, so you can swear and get mad, you know, and apologize, and they accept you for who you are and move on and go from there. That's really, I think, my biggest thing to it is, like, we're just Siena Heights. We're not. I'm not trying to be anybody else. So, yeah, they've got to drive by U of M Dearborn and Rochester and Concordia to get to me, but it's still what we do and who we are.
Right. And, you know, that's, you know, certainly a good way to put it. But and as you get ready for your big trip at the end of June, are you still going to be able to run your highly successful youth camp?
Yeah, so that will actually happen, and what's great about it this year was all the Adrian and local schools are out earlier this year. So we actually were able to move that camp a week earlier. I think it's the 13th to the 16th.
Good.
You can sign up on ChewSaints.com and everything that's out now.
Well, that's outstanding, and it's always good to get a plug here on you know, on this great sports station here. So I think I've exhausted my questions, and I'm going to turn it over. But it's talking to you is always a pleasure, and I mean what I say, Coach. I can tell you that from my granddaughter, who wasn't a great, great player, but she was a great person. You know, homecoming queen, National Honor Society. She's a freshman at Purdue, played 4 years of soccer. And I knew that the culture of this program would be outstanding for her. And she, you know, opted to go to the bigger school, but it's just so impressive what you've done, and I want to congratulate you.
Thanks.
Again, and turn you over to the dean of radio, John Kane.
Okay. Hey, Scott, I just have one question. What can you tell me about Lindsay Mancini. She's going to be on deck coming up after you. What can you tell me about her?
How much time do we have?
you got a few minutes.
Actually, so the newest thing in honor of yesterday is she's a new mother. I think she has I don't think they're one yet. So,
wow.
Maybe 6 months. I think it was in the fall, maybe. Yeah, I think she was pregnant at the Hall of Fame banquet. So, so that'd be your biggest one for me. And then, you know, soccer-wise, if you look at an athlete, man, like, I'm not sure, like, how much tactics she knew. She just knew. You know, like, she could just play. Like, that's the thing. Like, you look at even the pro sports players and that type of stuff, and, like, you're like, how much do they really, like, they have a good basketball IQ or baseball IQ, or, like, when you talk about Cabrera, like, he could just hit. You put him out there, and they can play. And that was Lindsay. So we had to put her in a competitive environment. She actually didn't play her natural position her freshman year, and then we put her back there her sophomore year. And, like, man, you just – I don't know. It's like playing tiddlywinks. You don't want to lose to the girl. She's going to outcompete you. Hell of an athlete. And then on the other side for me is they are so much fun. And when I say they, it's the twins. Because Haley and Lindsay, right? Haley went in last year. But Lindsay is, without a doubt, like just a gem of a person. Super energetic. Very, very humble. They come from a great family. And that was a... I think one of the things I was always jealous, because I, you know, I have a great family, but they truly had, you know, mom and dad, and, you know, they had all the sit down dinners and that type of stuff. And they really have a great family, brothers and sisters, multiple of them and things like that. So, you know, to sum it up, like just a hell of a player, like she can just play, like it doesn't matter. Great person, very humble. So it'll be interesting to hear what she has to say about herself and going in, because I think she's already said, like, she doesn't, I mean, she knows why, but she just has so much more credit to the team that, you know, played around her.
Well, Scott, I want to thank you for being on the show here this evening.
Always a pleasure.
And congratulations on all your success and the best, all the best in the future.
All right. Thanks. I appreciate it.
Take it easy, Coach. See you soon.
All right. See you, Fred. Bye.
All right, that was Scott Oliver, and we've got, as we were saying, Lindsay Mancini. She is on deck. We'll be back with her right after this here. You're listening to Siena Sports Weekly here on 96.5 The Cave and 965thecave.com.
Want to stay home and finish your degree? One of the top online programs in the nation is right in your backyard. Siena Heights University offers affordable online undergraduate and graduate degree programs, as well as on-ground classes on our Adrian campus for those who want to commute. Financial aid may be available, and ask us about our Siena Tuition Advantage Price Certainty Plan. Stay home, save money, and finish your degree with Siena Heights University. Find out more at siennaheights.edu. Siena Heights University was recently named one of the best colleges for your money by Money Magazine. If you plan to invest in a college experience, wouldn't you like to know what is money well spent? Siena Heights recently announced the Siena Tuition Advantage Price Certainty Plan. The Siena Tuition Advantage Plan means more price certainty, including potentially one tuition price during your time at Siena. Siena students also get real-world experience around the globe. Connections to international universities allow students to study in exciting places like England, Italy, and Costa Rica. With more than 600 student-athletes, Siena Heights offers athletic scholarships in more than 20 intercollegiate sports, including esports. There's also scholarships in academics and the arts. There's no better way to learn about Siena Heights than by visiting our campus. Begin your discovery and schedule your campus visit today. For more information, visit go.siennaheights.edu and learn what the Siena Effect is all about. Siena Heights University was recently named one of the best colleges for your money by Money Magazine. If you plan to invest in a college experience, wouldn't you like to know what is money well spent? Siena Heights recently announced the Siena Tuition Advantage Price Certainty Plan. The Siena Tuition Advantage Plan means more price certainty, including potentially one tuition price during your time at Siena. Siena students also get real-world experience around the globe. Connections to international universities allow students to study in exciting places like England, Italy, and Costa Rica. With more than 600 student athletes, Siena Heights offers athletic scholarships in more than 20 intercollegiate sports, including esports. There's also scholarships in academics and the arts. There's no better way to learn about Siena Heights than by visiting our campus. Begin your discovery and schedule your campus visit today. For more information, visit go.sienaheights.edu and learn what the Siena Effect is all about.
Looking for a place to host your next party, meeting, reunion, or reception? Let Siena Heights University be your local event destination. Siena Heights has facilities for almost every occasion and budget. Air-conditioned Benincasa Hall has seating for up to 250 people and is perfect for wedding receptions, anniversaries, and reunions. Need a special space for a birthday party? Dominican Hall provides large party rooms and a 125-seat auditorium for viewing videos and hosting a wide variety of entertainment. Have a smaller event? Siena Heights offers a variety of affordable, customized spaces on campus to fit your needs. Be sure to reserve your space now because all facilities are subject to availability. Siena Heights has also partnered with nationally recognized Chartwells to provide a delicious and wide-ranging menu of catering services, giving you a one-stop solution for your special occasion. To reserve your space or to learn more information about all the facility options at Siena Heights University, contact events at siennaheights.edu or visit siennaheights.edu/events. Siena Heights University, where Lenawee County meets.
Welcome back here to Saints Sports Weekly here on 96.5 The Cave and 965thecave.com. And as promised, we've got our second guest, Lindsay Mancini, on the line. Hi, Lindsay. Welcome to the program.
Hi, guys.
Hey, Lindsay. This is Coach Smith. We had Haley on a year ago. And now it's your turn to not only be on the show, but be in a, as you are going to be inducted in the Hall of Fame, I think, this fall. It's really a shame. We probably should have somehow had you guys inducted together. You've done so much for our women's soccer program. But we first want to talk about you. Tell our audience and everybody and Adrian what you've been up to since you left Siena.
Oh, so since I left Siena, I mean, I got a full-time job. I work in the automotive industry, in sales. I just started my family, so I have a newborn. She's almost 9 months.
Wow.
So I'm quite busy as of now with a newborn. Not crawling yet, but I'm close. But other than that, you know, living life, traveling, playing soccer, you know, kind of recreationally. I also played rugby for quite a while, so definitely been busy.
Where do you live now? Where do you live now, Lindsay?
I live in Harrison Township, so I live on the east side of the state. So, yep.
Well, you know, John Kane, our co-host, asked about you, and boy, I didn't know if we couldn't get Scooter, that's what we always call him, Coach Oliver, off the phone. He was gushing so much about you. He said you had that it factor and you just knew how to play. But for your honors are, well, you know, all league, all American, all that, but being in the Siena Heights Hall of Fame as a defender is different. As an offensive player, you know, we go back, you know, when you're a defensive player, the statistics that you garner are not easy to contend, you know, or to add up, so to speak. But tell us what type of player you were.
Oh, man, I mean, you made a huge point. Yeah, I definitely wasn't one scoring the goals, and obviously my twin sister being the goalkeeper.
Right.
Having all those shutouts and stuff, but definitely, you know, as a defender, you just try and keep the ball away from the goalie as much as possible. And I had an unbelievable back line with me. I mean, a lot of my success is, you know, due to the players to my right, to my left, and in front of me. You know, I tried to be a leader as much as I could on the field, and definitely trying to make it so that Haley never had to have a goal or be put in a situation where she needs to make a save. So that's kind of my thought process. As long as I can keep it away from her, we have a pretty good game. But, yeah, I definitely had awesome teammates and to my left, right, in front of me. So, I mean, I definitely depended on them a lot to make sure, you know, we're one team. So that's kind of how I viewed it. But, yeah, it was being a defender is definitely it's definitely different. I love being defense and, you know, making those plays where I could and getting it up to, you know, the ball score, you know, the teammates who would score those goals for us. So
specifically, what was your position called? I mean, if for the...
Yeah, so I was a sweeper.
That's what I wanted to say. I wanted you to say that. And that really is kind of the key backline position, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, you would definitely direct, you know, your other teammates kind of go where to be because you're that last kind of line of defense in front of everybody. So I was definitely making sure, you know, where people would need to be, where they need to go, helping to kind of direct that traffic, as you would kind of say, that sweeper position.
How long did it take you to get into that role at Siena? I mean, when you first got here, where you say, I'm going to be a sweeper, or did you always play defense, or how did that progress for you personally? And then with your, you know, role at Siena Heights Women's Soccer Program?
Yeah, I mean, I was always in the defense. So, I mean, Haley and I always were, you know, left and right, you know, defense. I did play sweeper in high school, as well as stopper. So that'd be that position right in front of the sweeper.
Right.
So I think at Siena Heights, I actually started off as maybe a stopper, if I'm not mistaken. I believe it was stopper. And then when kind of our graduates had graduated, I moved into that sweeper position. I think it was my sophomore year. I think that's when I started playing sweeper, but I was stopper my freshman year.
So when during your time at Siena, where, you know, who are the teams that were the, you know, can you even believe now there's 12 teams in the WAC? I think probably back then,
oh,
what we have about eight, maybe, I don't know, seven or eight. But
yeah,
who are the teams that were our biggest rivals that you played against?
Oh, definitely Madonna.
Yep.
That was number one. And then probably Davenport was right up in there. So definitely Davenport, and I would say Madonna were our probably top ones that we just, you know, you wanted to beat them every game that you could. So I would say those two for sure.
Well, you know, it's as we talk with Coach, that the growth of women's soccer, that, you know, teams Rochester, University of Michigan, Dearborn, Lawrence Tech, Cleary, all have programs now, right? And
it's so great.
And it is great. It's just so great for all of sports, not just women's soccer, but all the opportunities. But it makes it tougher when you're Siena Heights and you're down here in Adrian and you got to bypass those schools to get here. But Davenport was, you know, one of the powers, and they, I don't know what it was, maybe 4 or 5 years ago, maybe longer, went to the GLIAC. And on one hand, you know, we miss them, but I don't think our coaches miss them all that much because they were awfully good and everything. But talk about your, how many times did your team make it to national?
Oh, now we're going back 11 plus years. I think we went to nationals at least 2 out of my 4 years.
Right.
Possibly 3, but I'm pretty sure it was just 2. We went to nationals my sophomore and junior year.
Right. And if not, you were always playing for it, right? And
oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I think we played at a school down in Kentucky and then a school down in Florida, I think. So, yeah, definitely 2 years for nationals.
Yeah.
Much fun.
I think you played, what was the name of that school down in Kentucky? We went down there. It was in the middle of nowhere. They were a power. I think they were ranked number 1 or 2 in the country, and I can't think of their name now. Boy.
I think it was Lindsay Wilson.
That's who it was.
Yeah.
But I remember Tom Buscevitz and I drove down, and an ironic thing, we had a bigger crowd than they did. Do you remember that?
Yeah. Oh, we had a packed stadium.
I mean, you know, our fans were, you know, but they were unbelievable. It was a 1-0 game. It was a great game, but I remember that one. And do you remember, is that when you guys played, was it either Kaiser or back then Northwood when you played in Florida?
That was our junior year. Yeah, down in Florida we played Northwood.
Yeah.
That was hot.
So yeah, I was going to say.
coming from the winter months, you know, later in November, you know, 30 degrees practicing in snow down to Florida where it's 85 and beautiful sunshine. It was definitely a tough game that one in Florida just because of the heat and, you know, exhaustion. But we tried our best there too. And I mean, we put up a heck of a fight.
You know, Coach Oliver really talked glowingly about your family. So I'm going to give you a chance to tell us about, you know, your family growing up and obviously, you know, with Haley being right with you, quite a journey, but talk about your family a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, I come from a big family. Me and Haley are the oldest of six.
Wow.
So have lots of younger brothers and sisters and we all played soccer. So, you know, I think people, you know, who'd come to the games at Siena would always remember my younger brothers. You know, on the sideline, you know, cheering for us. You know, they were 9, maybe 10 years old at that point. So, then my younger sisters, you know, they played soccer. My one younger sister played soccer at Aquinas.
Wow. I remember that.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. So, come from a long line of soccer, you know, soccer family. But, huge family as well. So, you always had someone around, and you know, obviously having Haley, and you know, we're inseparable. You know, we still see each other and talk every single day, and so it was a good family life, that was for sure.
Haley, I just want to jump in here with one quick question.
Now,
I grew up with six sisters and a brother, and I just wondered if you were like me, because I was always sweet, very sweet to my brothers and sisters. Were you like that, especially with your sister growing up?
Oh, you know, we were super sweet, of course. we definitely have our, devilish side to us, and, you know, especially being the oldest of six, you know, we were definitely the mature, having to, you know, show, you know, our siblings, you know, right and wrong. But, you know, every once in a while we'd pull some pranks and, you know, got to pick on the younger ones every once in a while, but no, yeah. I mean, it was always fun, especially with the age gaps. My youngest brother, we're 10 years apart, so
wow.
It was kind of cool seeing him grow up. And, you know, he obviously was always at our games, and we go to his games. And he just graduated from Michigan State the other day.
Oh, that's awesome.
So we get to go and see him walk the stage. So it's cool being part of a big family. Obviously, you have rifts, but, yeah, no.
What high school did you attend?
Oh, we attended Bishop Foley in Madison Heights.
Heights.
Yep.
And that school is still open, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, yep. And because so many of our Catholic schools in the Metro Detroit area, you know, they've consolidated, but Bishop Foley is still going. I mean, I go back to, you know, the Southgate Aquinas and some of those schools that all depours and some of them that are no longer there, and it's been different to watch. So, what did you major in at Siena?
So I majored in biology.
That
was my major. Yeah, Bachelor of Science.
And so, how'd you get in the auto business being a biology grad?
Oh, life takes turns. Life takes turns. I don't know. I was thinking of going to nursing school after Siena Heights. It would probably help that I can't really deal with blood, so I, you know, kind of went away from that, thought about doing maybe medical device sales or pharmaceutical sales,
right.
But then kind of I got offered an opportunity for a sales position in automotive and have worked my way up, and to be honest, I love automotive, so I've just kind of stayed there, but it's been great.
Oh, that's awesome. I mean, that's a great story, and, you know, John and I, one of the things we love to do is, have our alums tell their story, because it tells the story of Siena Heights and how far it reaches. And, that's certainly makes it special. My, next question is, do you still, you know, your old teammates, I mean, are you still pretty connected? It seems to be that way when you know, you guys have been, some of your teams have been named the Hall of Fame. Are you still pretty close to some of your teammates other than your sister?
Definitely. Well, they're like sisters. You know, they're like family. I mean, we still talk all the time. You know, a bunch of us get together, and now our kids play together. We're going, you know, have a wedding here in a couple months from an old teammate. So we're definitely still all connected. You know, we try to get together. Some people are out of town or live in different states. So when they're in town, we try and all get together. But I would say, yeah, I mean, they're like sisters. So it's super nice to still have that connection even after we've graduated. Broke my heart the other day. I was like, oh, I graduated 11 years ago. So it's, we still talk all the time. A lot of my teammates, we do. So, or we just stay connected on social media, which is a great platform to see what everyone's up to, you know, see marriages and kids and traveling. So it's great.
You know, one of the things that, you know, we had a long interview with Coach Oliver before, but one of the things that you can spread this to social media, certainly to all your people, this is some of the amazing things that he has done at Siena. We were talking about most recently his average GPA of his 40-odd players was, I think, 3.69. I think that's amazing.
Wow.
And they're taking 78 people to Greece and Italy at the end of June, and finally, his retention's so good, they have, I don't know, 16-odd new kids coming in. He's going to start the year with 54 women soccer players.
That's amazing.
I mean, you got to be proud to be, you really helped build that, you and your sister, you know?
And Scooter, as you know, we call him, he has been an instrumental person in my life, and I mean, he's developed that programming. He cares about every one of his, you know, team, you know, his girls that he coaches, and we still talk. And he's really built something special. And, you know, that was the reason why Siena Heights is special, because you have that program with such an amazing coach, and obviously he brings in great players, great women to help, you know, build that program, you know, to its fullest potential. I mean, it's amazing.
You know, I just, you know, we're getting close to the end, and I just want to, I look forward to watching just how great you spoke today, you know, as you get justly rewarded for being a member of that elite group of Siena Heights Hall of Famers, and congratulations on how well you've done and your newborn. It's going to, like you said, pretty soon they're going to be crawling and walking all over that house, so my bestie and I look forward to seeing you this fall. I'll turn it back to John.
Yeah, I mean, I told Scooter that we got a little girl on the way, and you know, if he sticks, you know, he has to stay around because she's going to be the next Saint. You know, how many other years? So,
Lindsay, thanks so much for being on the show, and congratulations on your success. And we wish you all the best in your career and with your growing family.
Oh, thank you guys so much. I appreciate it.
All right, that's going to wrap up our show. Well, that's not quite. We're going to take a break, and then we'll wrap up our show. We'll be back right after this. Siena Heights Sports Weekly here on 96.5 The Cave and 965thecave.com.
Concerned about unpredictable rising college tuition costs? Siena Heights University is taking a bold step to remain affordable. The Siena Tuition Advantage Plan means more price certainty, including potentially one tuition price during your time at Siena. A Catholic university located in Adrian, Michigan, Siena Heights also offers scholarships in academics, athletics, and the arts. Find out what the Siena Tuition Advantage is all about today by visiting sienaheights.edu. That's the Siena Effect.
Looking for a place to host your next party, meeting, reunion, or reception? Let Siena Heights University be your local event destination. Siena Heights has facilities for almost every occasion and budget. Air-conditioned Benincasa Hall has seating for up to 250 people and is perfect for wedding receptions, anniversaries, and reunions. Need a special space for a birthday party? Dominican Hall provides large party rooms and a 125-seat auditorium for viewing videos and hosting a wide variety of entertainment. Have a smaller event? Siena Heights offers a variety variety of affordable, customized spaces on campus to fit your needs. Be sure to reserve your space now because all facilities are subject to availability. Siena Heights has also partnered with nationally recognized Chartwells to provide a delicious and wide-ranging menu of catering services, giving you a one-stop solution for your special occasion. To reserve your space or to learn more information about all the facility options at Siena Heights University, contact events at siennaheights.edu or visit siennaheights.edu/events. Siena Heights University, where Lenawee County meets.
Siena Heights University was recently named one of the best colleges for your money by Money Magazine. If you plan to invest in a college experience, wouldn't you like to know what is money well spent? Siena Heights recently announced the Siena Tuition Advantage Price Certainty Plan. The Siena Tuition Advantage Plan means more price certainty, including potentially one tuition price during your time at Siena. Siena students also get real-world experience around the globe. Connections to international universities allow students to study in exciting places like England, Italy, and Costa Rica. With more than 600 student athletes, Siena Heights offers athletic scholarships in more than 20 intercollegiate sports, including esports. There's also scholarships in academics and the arts. There's no better way to learn about Siena Heights than by visiting our campus. Begin your discovery and schedule your campus visit today. For more information, visit go.siennaheights.edu and learn what the Siena Effect is all about.
Looking for a place to host your next party, meeting, reunion, or reception? Let Siena Heights University be your local event destination. Siena Heights has facilities for almost every occasion and budget. Air-conditioned Benincasa Hall has seating for up to 250 people and is perfect for wedding receptions, anniversaries, and reunions. Need a special space for a birthday party? Dominican Hall provides large party rooms and a 125-seat auditorium for viewing videos and hosting a wide variety of entertainment. Have a smaller event? Siena Heights offers a variety of affordable, customized spaces on campus to fit your needs. Be sure to reserve your space now because all facilities are subject to availability. Siena Heights has also partnered with nationally recognized Chartwells to provide a delicious and wide-ranging menu of catering services, giving you a one-stop solution for your special occasion. To reserve your space or to learn more information about all the facility options at Siena Heights University, contact events at siennaheights.edu or visit siennaheights.edu/events. Siena Heights University, where Lenawee County meets.
All right, back here, Siena Sports Weekly. We're wrapping up our program here this evening. We want to thank once again Scott Oliver and Lindsay Mancini for being our guests here this evening. And don't forget, Mondays, 6 p.m. here on 96.5 The Cave and 96.5thecave.com. It's Siena Sports Weekly. You know, it's always a good show, Fred.
Yeah, it is. Oh. And I want to thank our sponsors. This is, to me, you know, I know we tape these, but just love to hear from our coaches and our alums and our players. It's been, to me, a real joy in my life, and I appreciate you guys having me along.
Well, that's going to wrap it up for another show, so have a good one here. You've been listening to Siena Sports Weekly here on 96.5 The Cave and 965thecave.com.